Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I have good news and bad news. We're not going to start that again. The good news is this is probably the shortest sermon I've ever given in 6 years here. The bad news is it's called Burn Your Ride and Kiss Your Mama Goodbye. So that's kind of what it's called. So that having been said, we are in our third week of our All In series, and I want you to remember it is good to come to church no matter what, but if you are a follower of Jesus, a Christian, we come to church not only to worship, fellowship, to give back to God, but we come so that we can be challenged by God's Word, so that we can leave and be better disciples of Jesus Christ, that we can live lives fully devoted to Him, fully in love with Him, fully devoted to loving Him and others. And so if maybe you're a guest, we have spent 2 weeks talking about a couple of things. Number one is that these lives, the lives that we live here on earth in these bodies, unless Jesus comes again, we're all done for. And Jesus reminds us, why not lose what you're going to lose anyway, to live the only way that you can to save your life, which is to live for Jesus. Meaning these lives are short, these lives are temporary, these lives are filled with troubles and challenges and also great joy and wonderful things. But don't live your life putting all your stock in this world. We are here to live all in for Jesus Christ. And when we hold out, we miss out. We've talked about that. When you and I hold out on our lives, we hold out on forgiveness, we hold out and live for self, and we hold out from giving all that we have for Jesus, we miss out. And so do others as well. And this often happens because the very gifts that God gives us, the very good things in our life, the blessings, the stuff, the people, they become more important to us than the very God who gave them to us and blessed us with them. And we must remember that our very lives themselves were given from God. And so we really owe Him. Not only did He send Jesus to redeem us to Him and to make a way, that we owe Him our very lives as it is. And so we've talked about asking ourselves, where is your primary devotion? Maybe you're in a good season in life. Maybe there's challenges going on. But whatever it is, you've got to ask yourself, man, there are good things going on in my life. This is a good time, and on and on and on. But nothing should undermine you living your life with a heart and through the lens of, I am here for Jesus. I am saved by Him. I'm here to live for Him. I'm here to magnify His name. I'm here to love people and love others. And it's generally fear that keeps us from going all in for Jesus. Fear that God will ask us to change something. Fear of change. Fear of all kinds of things. And we, of course, asked ourselves 2 weeks ago, talking about Abraham, what is it that maybe you need to be willing to sacrifice in your life that's keeping you from being all in, from God's best, from God's abundance? Last week we talked about the rich young ruler, and he was unwilling to let go of himself. He was unwilling to let go of his stuff. And for some of you, maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's your pride. And here's the hardest one that there is throughout all of human history for us to give up, and that's our will. Meaning, as Jesus prayed, your will be done, God. You, my life is yours. Do what you want. Get glory from it. I love you. I'm yours. The rich young ruler left Jesus sad because he was unwilling to make change in his life that would be positive, not only for him, but for the kingdom of God. Self mattered too much. Stuff mattered too much. For some, it's sex or substance or relationship or sin or pride or bitterness or unforgiveness or fear. Whatever it is that's holding us back, it's not worth it. February the 19th, 1519, the Spanish explorer Cortez set sail for America, for Mexico specifically. So we're talking something 500 years ago, but it's relevant. Cortez set sail. He had 11 ships and about 500 men. He had some other people there as well. And now, basically, what was happening was they wanted to conquer, and they wanted to make a conquest of the country of Mexico, what is now that. There were about 5 million people. And by the way, I am not advocating conquest or Cortez or Columbus or anybody. This is just a story, okay? So this is no, like, look what he did. Okay, so there were about 5 million people living there, right? They set sail, and when they got to the new country, what they did was amazing. Because, see, there had been several prior expeditions, and they had all failed. When they hit land, they disembarked from the ship, they unloaded everything off the ship, they then immediately burned all 11 of their ships, which was genius. And he was telling his men, we are all in on this mission. There is no going back to Spain. There's no going home. There's no failing. There's no turning back around, changing our mind. Failure is not an option. We are all in on this mission. And I think that story serves as a vivid illustration for you and I of if you've done that with your life for Jesus Christ. The old hymn says, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. How easily we turn back. How easily we hedge. You guys know what hedging is? It's kind of like, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to make sure. It's like if you, and I'm not advocating gambling, it's like if you're betting on a game, you bet on both teams. That way, you kind of win either way. There was no hedging. And I think so often we do that with our walks for the Lord. I'm going to be all in for Jesus, but I'm still holding on to this in my life. I'm unwilling to let go of this. I want to live as a Christian, but when things get tough, or sometimes when things are too good, we tend to just focus on ourselves. I think it's a vivid illustration that for some of us, there's some ships in our life that need to get burnt. Some things that we just need to say, you know what? I am not going back to that. Now, it can be a sin. It can be a past failure. It can be unforgiveness. It can be guilt. It can be negativity. It can be yourself. It can be your stuff. For a lot of you here today, because when I was putting this together this week, I mean, I got convicted. I mean, seriously, because here's what I have struggled with in my life. You know, so I was called to ministry as a teenager. Then I ran from God for so long. And when I finally recommitted my life to Him, there were some ships immediately that had to get burnt. But here's what I have struggled with and what I know a lot of you struggle with. It's where we say something in my life is like that ship, and I've not been on that ship in a long time. I've not ridden that ship. I don't want to get on that boat. But you're unwilling to set fire to it. You're unwilling to burn it and say, you know what? This is something that is just out. The potential of ever doing this again is just out. The thing here, the regret, the guilt, the willingness to obey God, whatever it is. Because guys, here's the deal. Much like those explorers where going back was not an option, and they did an incredible thing. You had 500 people conquesting a country of 5 million. That's like 10,000 to 1, right? God has great things for your life, but until you are really, really willing to let go of yourself, you can't have the victory and live in the full abundance that God wants you to live in. That is a truth. That is a reality. Because see, guys, every life, here's the deal. Every life that is sitting here today is a one-way ticket to eternity. Yeah? And every one of us will spend our eternity one of two places. Now, there's a lot of truths in God's Word. I actually heard some statistics at some meetings this week that concerned me. And it was about the number of people who attend church and some of the stuff that they say they're not 100% sure about. But let me tell you, I am 100% certain that there is an eternity that I will spend in one of two places. And it's not trying to, that's not scary. That's, no, because Jesus took my death, my sin, my punishment, my judgment for me. That's why I love Him so much. And so one of two places we will all spend eternity, and your life is a one-way ticket. So why not be all in following Jesus? Why not lose your life for the only thing that's worth losing it for and the only way that you can save it? I think so many times that we can't take a step into the future, we can't take that step forward because we don't eliminate the possibility of going back. Could it be a relationship? Could it be a sin? Could it be your money? Could it be your pride? Could it be someone in your life? Because as Paul wrote, we're supposed to forget what's behind and press forward for what? For the goal of Jesus Christ, to win that prize, to serve Him faithfully. Forget what's behind for that goal. If I asked you this morning, what's your goal for your life? Seriously, think about that for a moment. What's the goal? What are you trying to get out of life? What do you want? Do you want just to have the most fun, to live a good life, which is a good thing? Or do you want, when you're dead and gone, for people to say, there's someone who loved Jesus. There's someone who made a difference. And people aren't always going to know all the good that you do or that we do. But is your goal truly to live for Jesus and to satisfy Him? If you're a Christian, it's a rhetorical question. I'm not saying that we succeed every day, but that needs to be the goal of our hearts and lives. That needs to be the goal of our households and our workplaces and our marriages and our checkbooks and on and on and on and on. To live to please Jesus. So this morning, excuse me, very briefly, we're going to talk about a man who did that. If you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. And we're going to talk about Elisha for just a couple of minutes. Because I don't think we have time to give all the background, the foreground, not Elijah, but Elisha. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you're like, I don't know who that is, read your Bible more, would be a good suggestion. because there are stories all throughout the Old Testament that are rich as gold. And every time I dig in, I'm like, oh, this is not really doing it for me. I'm going to go to like John or Romans. And then after a while, I'm like, oh, yes, that's right. And here's why that applies. And God's word is so rich. So Elisha was a prophet. Elisha was he was in a farming family. He was the oldest son. He became kind of the successor to Elijah. You guys remember Elijah? Jezebel, and was called up into heaven and all that. So let's read about Elisha's all-in moment. 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21, three verses. So it says, he departed from there and found Elisha, and he is Elijah. He found Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he was with the 12th, and Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my mother and my father, and then I will follow you. And Elijah said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? So Elisha turned back from him, took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh using the oxen's equipment and gave it to the people and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his servant. So Elisha didn't burn any ships. He burned his farming equipment and had a barbecue. He had all this farming equipment. He had these oxen. And he said, you know what, I have a calling. I'm willing to give this up. So he burned the equipment, made a fire, and he slaughtered the oxen, and they ate. He was saying, I'm ending my old life as a farmer, and I'm starting my new life in which I have a calling to be a prophet. And so this started with a call. And you may not realize it. If you're a disciple, a Christian, you do realize you have a call. I mean, you may not go overseas or be a pastor, but I mean, you're called to be a pastor to your family. You have a call on your life. And are you answering that call in how you live day to day? So here Elijah was retiring, and Elisha was going to be his successor. And you notice how before he could go forward, read verse 20 with me again. It says, Elisha said, please let me kiss my mother and father, and then I will follow you. That is so rich right there. You notice how before he could move forward, he had to kiss his parents goodbye. Didn't Jesus say, you must love mother and father and brother and sister more than me? And again, not many of us are going to be called overseas to be missionaries, but my question is, for your life today, and as I was reading and preparing this week, and to be honest, preparing later last night than I would have liked to have, but that sometimes happens, I was like, man, what do I need to kiss goodbye in my life? Because see, for each and every one here, no matter how good of a Christian we are, there's some stuff that maybe we should consider kissing goodbye. Now, if it's sin, it's just an absolute guaranteed there it is. And for some of probably people here today, and if it's you, that has to go. That sin in your life has to go before God can move you forward, before God can bless you, before God can bring you into that incredible place of living for Him. And I know that at times the thought of that can be hard, but that is the theme of this message, and why it's so short and sweet is that for some here today, there's something that needs to be kissed goodbye in your life before you can ever have the fullness, the abundance, the blessings that God wants you to have. And if you're here this morning and you have not surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, you've got to kiss yourself goodbye. You are the wrong God for your life, because there is a God and He loves you and He wants the best for you and He sent Jesus to die for you and He has an eternity ahead of you that is beyond your wildest dreams. But you've got to let yourself go. I know it's the hardest thing in the world and it's scary. And I'm the biggest control freak you'll ever meet, right, Carla? The biggest. But man, I had to let myself go, and I have to do it every day to Jesus, to the Holy Spirit leading me, to God being in charge of my life, for me trying to live a life that pleases Him and not just pleases myself. And I don't care who you are this morning, God has a call for your life. God wants to use you. He wants to heal you. He wants to forgive you. He wants to bless you. He wants you to have good and not bad, life and not death, blessings and not curses. But the question is, will you respond? Because see, God throughout history calls and uses all kinds of people. He called Elisha away from a plow. And I want you to know, Elisha leaving was not easy. He was the oldest son. They had employees. They had equipment. It was a wealthy family. But Elisha said, to follow God and His call, I will let it all go. He didn't hedge. He didn't put his equipment in a barn. He burned it. And he said, I will follow you, Lord, with my life. I will answer your call. And I've noticed throughout history, God calls all kinds of people. He calls people with a past. He calls people that struggle with sin. He calls people of all colors. He calls people of all kinds of races. He calls people of all kinds of that look different, tall, short, different, long hair, tattoos, no tattoos. Who cares? God loves you and He has a call on your life. But let me tell you who God never calls. I've noticed throughout His Word. He never calls lazy people. Have you guys ever noticed that? Here He calls a farmer, He calls a fisherman, I could go on and on. God never called someone who He found so-and-so laying on the couch eating Cheetos, and no. And I want to speak to that. Being spiritually lazy is an absolute disqualifier to God using you, to God's blessings, to God's fullness, to God bringing other people into His kingdom that will matter for all of eternity through your life. Spiritual laziness is an absolute deal breaker. Come to church when you feel like it. Don't read the Word. Don't be involved. Don't give. Don't serve. Just kind of be lukewarm. Spiritual laziness will preclude God's best from your life. It's a hard truth, but it's a truth. Elisha had a moment of consecration. We talked about that last week. That is a moment of sacrifice. That is a moment of giving yourself to God. That is a moment of giving something up, of praying about something. Guys, do you know why we pray at an altar and will again today? I will say, come to the altar and pray. An altar is a place of sacrifice. This isn't a churchy thing that we do. It's a place to come and say, I've got something I need to pray about. I've got something I need to pray for. I've got something I need to sacrifice, to put to death, to give up, to lay down, to let go of. See, those moments have to happen in life sometimes. And I don't care if you've been a Christian for 75 years and you're the most right-living person ever, you shouldn't go years or probably even months at a time and never come to the altar. Now, I'm not chastising anybody. Maybe you can't get here, it's hard to bend down, you got bad knees, that's fine. But we all have things that we need to kiss goodbye at times. Oftentimes, it's just a bad attitude. Those tend to pop up in my life. Those tend to happen. Sometimes I'm overwhelmed. I can't handle things. I feel like I'm failing. I'm doing things poorly, whatever. And sometimes that bad attitude is something I have to give to God. And so, sacrifice. Those moments of saying, I will do something, just and being willing, because last week the rich young ruler was unwilling, remember? He wasn't willing to give anything up for Jesus. And don't think that we can be unwilling to give anything up for Jesus and then just bless me, God. Elisha said goodbye to his farm, to his inheritance, to his family. You guys imagine your job right now. Imagine your house. Imagine your family business. Imagine even one of your relationships that even you would say is a good thing, a spouse relationship. And God's not going to ask you probably to give that up, of course, but just imagine good things in your life. You can't imagine being different. And if God asked you to give those up, would you for Him? So let me downshift on that and say, what about simple things? What about our treasures? What about our time? What about our attitudes and hearts? What about, again, I go back to this, what about your will? Does it really belong to the Lord? Do you really pray, your kingdom come, your will be done? Do you pray, God, use me? Do you pray those things? Loving Jesus means, yes, Lord, use my life. He said goodbye to his family. I want you to think about this one. Family was tight back then. Now, this day and age, I see some families. I'm blessed to kind of have a family that way, pretty tight. I don't see as much of that. But back then, families were tight. They generally worked the family business or the family farm. They lived together. Family back then was a big deal. And Elisha loved the Lord so much, he was willing to just give that up. And if you're in Hoopston right now, this can be a problem here in our society in general. But if you're here today and you're a new Christian, there's a good chance a fair amount of your family aren't Christians. Now, I'm talking not they believe in God. They come to church. They love Jesus. They read the Bible. You pray together. They live by the Bible. That's a Christian. Those are some basics, okay? There's a decent chance that's the case. And there's times God will call you to separate from them because they are not willing to live the life that you should be living. And so I'm not talking about like divorce, just don't go there. But I'm saying that God sometimes will ask us to follow His leading, and it'll mean giving something up, kissing something goodbye. C.S. Lewis has a great quote, and when I read this, I was like, wow. He says, many professed believers have never kissed anything goodbye. So let me tell you, if you've been in church a while, you've made the decision, you've been baptized, you say, well, I'm a Christian now, you need to ask yourself if your life has changed. I'm going to let that go for a minute. Does your life look the same? Do you sit in church year after year and really your life just looks the same? You probably need to kiss something goodbye. So what do you need to let go of to be all in for Jesus? What's worth potentially missing out on heaven for, or for living your destiny in Christ, or for living this abundant, full life that God has for you now? I love that you come to church, but God has so much more. And some of you today might be one decision away from a very different life. Here's the most dangerous thing, one of the most dangerous things you can do. Come sit in church every week and hear the gospel and sometimes even get convicted and do nothing about it. And not change a thing. Not ever respond to God's invitation of salvation. Not ever come to this altar and pray. Not ever decide you're going to burn a boat. You're going to give something up. You're going to kiss something goodbye. Craig Groeschel has a quote, and it's brutally honest, but brutally awesome. And he says, stop skipping church because you feel like it. You stayed up late. The game's on. You're going camping or shopping or whatever other excuse. Stop being a phony. Wholeheartedly commit your life to Jesus. Stop going to church to consume and get yourself and your family involved. Make a difference. Serve, tithe, give offerings, pray, fast, engage in the life of the church. Start growing spiritually. Read your Bible. Stop pretending. Do something different. Act. That's my prayer for all of us this morning. That there's something we're willing to kiss goodbye. There's something we're willing to do. The Bible says, choose this day who you will serve. It's life or death. It's blessings or curses. It's Jesus or not. And the good news is that God loves you. That Jesus doesn't want to save you into a life of rules and religion and pretense and any of these things. He wants to save your soul. He wants to save your eternity. He wants to save you from yourself. He wants to guide and bless your life now by having you live for Him, by having you live by His Word, by having you love Him and love others. That's what God wants for you. That's being all in. What are you willing to kiss goodbye this morning? Would you stand with me?